He's going to be here.
That's good to know. You're trying to think of somewhere, you know what I mean, to go.
Are we recording?
Yep.
Okay, it's 4 minutes after 6 on November 30th. I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting to order. First order of business is a roll call. Fowler?
Here.
Trustee Genrich?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
Metzler? Is out. Horn?
Yeah.
Here. Fredericks? Out. Rock? Here. Next order of business is to modify and adopt our agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda, Trevor, that you are aware of, or anyone on the committee wants to propose? Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda, approved minutes from October 26, 2016. So we can take a look at those and anybody have any comments on the minutes? I had one comment. Trevor, on the second page where it says action regarding 2016 certified local government grant applications, the last sentence there, is that a true statement? The plan is to pursue two separate applications for each project. We pursued two estimates for each project, but are we not, maybe I'm not reading that the way it's intended, but we're only submitting one application for each project, is that correct?
Right, you're right. That should probably be reworded.
It's up to you if you want to change it, but it implies that we're doing something that I guess I don't
two
think.
Two applications.
I don't think we're going to do it. Yeah.
Each of the two projects.
Yeah.
Maybe the plan is to pursue
separate
applications.
Yeah, just remove the two.
Yeah, okay. Anything else? If that's all, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes with that one change that we just discussed.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes with the amendment of deleting two in the last sentence under action item 2016 CLG grant application.
We have a motion.
And I will second it.
And we have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 4, announcements. Trevor, do you have any announcements for us?
I just have one announcement. I spoke with Patrick Murray. He's the owner of the Alfred B. Feld House at 204 East Whitney. I spoke with him this afternoon. He just gave me an update on his project. As you know, they're pursuing a nomination on their own, and they're near completion, and he said everything's going well, and they'll continue to keep us updated. So.
That's great.
Do you know who's doing their nomination?
Legacy Architecture.
Okay.
Any announcements from the committee? Nope. Okay. We'll move on to item number 5, public appearances. Anyone wishing to speak, come to the podium and state your name and address for the record.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. In 2018, Brown County will be 200 years old as well, the town of Green Bay, which was originally founded here in Alloway. Our group over at Brown County Historical Society is preparing a guide to style, and I'm working on the housing styles of the 50s and 60s. So if anybody, and that kind of fits into the Alloway, the mid-century 50s and 60s ranches is really what we're looking for, because we're looking for iconic homes. So if anybody would like to help with the photography or writing, or writing stories about the neighborhoods of the 50s and 60s, they can get in touch with me, and then we'll make sure it gets into the guide to styles. And I'm at Jim O'Rourke, GB for Green Bay, at gmail.com. And then the other project that we're working on is we have somebody who's doing the Belgian farmhouses. So those are the first two projects we'll be doing. Thanks.
I took a tour once. I don't recall who sponsored it. It was of the Belgian farmhouses. And we were on a bus, and there were 20 of us or so. My brother-in-law is Belgian. And it was quite interesting. I mean, it's really, you don't notice them just driving by sometimes, but when you understand the architecture and why they were built the way they were and who built them and why they came, you know, it's an interesting topic. You probably know who, it's an organization that gives those tours, and it was excellent. I've been trying to retrace the route so I could take my wife on the tour, but I keep getting lost. Anyone else wishing to speak? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 6, discussion of landmarks and historic preservation chapter of the village ordinances. Trevor has attached the ordinance chapter 424 for us to review. This kind of came about, well, Trevor outlines it in his memo. Jim O'Rourke actually drew attention to it at our last meeting. You know, wanted to make sure we understood that we were, whether we were trying to impose or encourage voluntary compliance, or was it more regulatory through the certificate of appropriation that we've got built into our ordinance. And as Trevor identified, you know, we have some new people on our committee, and we have quite a few residents now who are actively engaged in the process of being nominated. And throughout the process up to date, we'd answer the questions, well, are there things that we can't do with our property, you know? And whoever speaks always said the same thing. No, you can really do whatever you want with your property. You know, the representative from Legacy and the representative from Wisconsin State Historic Society and everything that we've passed on is, you know, you can, you know, doesn't prohibit you from doing what you want to do with your property. When I read through this ordinance, it kind of sounded like, I mean, I can work my way through it and find a way to say, yeah, that's true, but I just thought we all ought to understand what's on the books, what's on the record in our ordinance, and to be able to, we don't have to change it. I'm not advocating that we change it, but necessarily, but that we certainly understand what it says and how we need to understand it to respond, because we may get questions, because it's out there in the public domain, you know, and anybody at any time could read this and ask a question. You know, the question I had was, someone might say, well, what if I don't get this? What if you guys deny our certificate of appropriateness? What happens then? You know. So, and what does a certificate of appropriateness look like? I've never seen one. I think this was, I don't know if I was on the committee when this was put together or not.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the age of this?
2012, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, as part of being a certified local government, which is the program the village belongs to, and we're able to apply for those grant funds, the federal government has certain guidelines that we're supposed to meet. One is establish a committee by ordinance. And they don't really have too many others. The state then has another layer of requirements that they have us in, and some of their requirements is to have an ordinance similar to this. And so when we became a certified local government back in 2012, it must have been, that's when this was adopted. And then I think we modified it slightly in 2014 to kind of clear up the language, but maybe it should be cleared up a little bit more. But the state requires us to have the authority. We can't just have a voluntary ordinance.
Right.
In order to have that CLG status. So I guess that's ultimately a decision for us as a community, whether or not we want to maintain that. I think in the past we've kind of taken a more voluntary approach
But maybe it hasn't come up before, because you really have to have a, you know, historic district.
Right.
For it to apply, and isn't this our first historic district?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that when we had the different parties saying you didn't have any regulation with, you know, reconstruction or alteration, I don't think that was accurate to be saying that, because I think this says something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the Miramar district, I think they have to have knowledge of this, because I would think it would be necessary for them to know that there's Chapter 424 of our village ordinances that they have to then, if they're going to remodel or make alterations or whatever, then speak out, because that's what it's saying. I mean,
right.
I was surprised when I read it,
Your point is quite valid. When we put all this together, we didn't have an actual case in front of us.
Right.
So it was all kind of hypothetical, and now we've been through that process, and now we can see, yeah, people are going to...
Absolutely. And
know what we didn't know before.
Exactly.
And
I would think that property owners in that district would need to know that.
Right. And, you know, it's probably my fault. I remember bringing it up in some of the initial meetings, and maybe I assumed that was enough, but I'm familiar with this ordinance, and I can see now that Mr. Burke brought this up, and now that we're talking about it tonight, that if you're not familiar with it, you probably don't know. Right. The last thing I'd want to do is have a group of homes, or
just
an
a property owner.
Home.
Yeah.
It's just an individual property owner.
I feel like they're blindsided.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one thing if you had an individual that had a historic home, then you know there's some regulations you have to follow. But to have a whole district and be unaware of this, and then want to apply for a building permit of some sort, and then find out, well, under C, no owner or person in charge of historic structure within a historic district shall A, B, C, D, you know.
Right.
They need to be following that.
So there is a delay period. It would delay you potentially up to 30 days.
And then there has to be public hearing. I mean, it's pretty involved.
Well, I'll just go ahead and, I guess.
But I think it's necessary.
Just to jump in or provide some clarification. With these ordinances, the nomination to the National Register is not a designation by this committee. And when the way the ordinance is stated and the way these ordinances are stated is that this committee would have to designate those districts a historic district. So that action hasn't been taken. All that's been done is looking for getting grant funds for nominations to the National Register. just like Mr. The gentleman that you talked about that's pursuing his own historic nomination. By him doing that doesn't make these require him to go and get a certificate of appropriateness. He's got a historic structure, but it hasn't been officially designated through a public hearing process through this committee. And he wouldn't need to get any certificate of appropriateness. Same with any of the districts that we're working on.
But I would think we're at a much lower level than the national or the state.
And that's where the national hopes that more authority or management of the districts occurs, is at the local level. They would, I think the state and the National Register would love it if we would designate all of these historic districts locally, but we don't have to.
One, there's a sentence in here that I think addresses your comment here. It's 424-6, item B. It says creation. This is on page 3 of this document. Item B, creation of historic district. In the middle of that, it says each historic preservation plan prepared for or by the committee shall include, et cetera, et cetera. So we have these historic plans prepared for us, not by us. So by my way of thinking, we've engaged the services of a professional to do that for us, and that's what we have now with Legacy. And they're doing it, and we've authorized that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the link that ties us to the national, because they're doing it for the purpose of nominating a district or a home to the National Register. And we've said okay, because we signed a contract, the village signed a contract with them to do that work. We're not doing it. So I think that's the bridge that gets us from us rather than national. I think we still are following a path that ties us into the National Register designation.
So you're saying this would apply?
I think so, yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I don't see anything.
Yeah, I would disagree.
Yeah,
I'd continue to maintain my disagreement.
Well, a historic preservation plan is separate from the nomination form.
Okay.
A plan kind of outlines the steps the community is going to take to enforce something. It's a pretty dense document. I will point out on underneath the definitions on page 1, we added back in 2014, in that first sentence, a place or area designated, or under a historic district, a place or area designated as a historic district by the village board on recommendation of the committee or listed by the state on the National Register as such. We added the or listed as by the state. So that's what ties us to it.
And that's maybe what I was trying to recall. I read another sentence, but I think that's the one that I was trying to remember where I saw it.
And we could remove that. That doesn't take away, as Dina was saying, what the state and federal government want is us to take ownership of things and us to locally designate things. And the intent is that you locally designate something that's nationally recognized, but it's not required. So that section can be removed.
But then are you saying that to be recognized locally is at a totally different level than something that's national?
it can be two separate things, right? For instance...
But then when would you ever do this? When would this ever come into play? Because if it's already recognized nationally, why would you want
to... If something that qualified nationally, but it had a lot of local historical significance. For instance, there's a guardhouse in Greenwich Hill.
Yeah.
I think the guardhouse in Heritage Hill is locally designated, but it's not, on the state national register.
Isn't that just a definition of a, what a historic district is? But not the designation of a historic district?
Well, we still have a document that could confuse the issue.
Yeah.
Have we had a public hearing to designate anything yet?
No. And the last thing I want to do is blindside anyone or feel like or have anyone feel like they're being blindsided, because I know that's has been the intention of myself or the committee this whole time.
This implies that their course of action would be to would be to appeal the decision if a certificate of appropriateness was not issued, you know, then.
But someone wouldn't even know that they would have to apply for that certificate.
Yeah, that's
unless they would have had knowledge of this.
Yeah, it's all in this document.
Yeah,
it's all in this document. So, and I'm wondering how this, I mean, I'm kind of questioning that whole section C there that says regulation of construction, you know, reconstruction, alteration, raising, as being enforceable as something that we can actually do. Because the certificate of, I mean, I'm talking from a perspective of having not been here when this was put together, you know, and this implies that this committee has the basis of knowledge to make a judgment about whether someone is going to put new soffits on their home, if that's if that meets the requirement. I don't think that's our that's not our mandate to make that kind of judgment. And it's implying that we will,
mm-hmm.
and we'll act on our decision about whether that soffit is appropriate or not, and we'll sign a document saying so, and we'll cause the owner to have to go to appeal it, or else say, well, okay, fine, what was this all about? I guess I'm going to do it anyway because they said okay. But I don't think we have a mandate to make that judgment, and so I'm wondering why we have that. So I know what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to apply some leverage so we get, you know, knowledge of activities in the community relating to these homes before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking maybe there's another way to do it without making it sound like we're going to decide it.
Part of being a certified local government, we do receive technical assistance from the State Historic Preservation Office. So they would be able to offer assistance as far as what is historical, what is not historical, and matters like that.
Okay.
So would they be able to answer some of these questions, or would Legacy, or at least provide us with another municipality or two that has a similar policy and it works or it doesn't work? Or
do you know who put this together?
This is pretty much a model ordinance. Oh.
So someone else has.
Yeah.
Right. This is what we received from the state.
Another community.
I think is another COG.
Mequon maybe is in there?
I'm sorry?
Mequon?
Maybe. The peer I know is a COG, so they would have something similar to this.
Yeah. I think we need to get more information.
Because really the intent, I think, of what the committee would like to maybe see is, and just how I've worked with the organizations in the past, having written these and having, like, issued certificates of appropriateness, is there might be a national listing, and then the committee would hold, if they wanted to, locally designated, hold the public hearing, then, you know, then it would be locally designated. But the concern seems to be that it's not very clear. It seems that once it's nominated on a state or national register, it's automatically considered designated and therefore needs a certificate of appropriateness.
Well, this whole document is relating to structures
which,
that are on the National Register.
Right, and the state.
And the state register.
Yeah.
And it's by default, if it's on the state register, it's going to be on the National Register.
Right.
So this whole document is put together.
But you don't want it to read that way, correct?
No, we don't.
Okay.
No, we don't.
Okay.
I don't feel the need to even bring up, you know, locally designate, no local designations, because how would that feel if we go to a homeowner and say, well, we have all these roadblocks here, but if we do this another way, you can be locally designated,
right?
Which is like, you know, second place, or it's not like a real thing, you know. And so I think we have districts and homes that will end up on the National Register, and this document reads that we have some responsibility, you know, and some regulatory authority to control what they do.
I think there's real conflict.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do that.
That's not what we want to do.
Right.
No.
Is there...
I'm sorry, just so I can understand, the rub here is that you don't want to have say over a national or state register property.
The
local designation is okay.
Well, it's really not being addressed. We're not really addressing it here because this document doesn't address it.
Right.
And we don't have any occurrences coming up on the horizon that we're going to. Maybe I'm being too short-sighted, but I'm thinking we've got over 100 individual homes now that are that in one of these requests or the other are going to be nominated. And that's what this addresses. And
so why would anyone want to be locally nominated if they have to follow this, but then you could be on that higher level of national or state?
I think if we do that personally...
And you have nothing to follow.
We would...
It doesn't make any...
We've made some good progress with our goals to pursue national registry designations, and if we do something in backslide like that, then all of a sudden maybe our credibility, our ability to move forward with new initiatives is going to be hindered. And I just wanted to get this out so we understand what it is that we're going to have to deal with, or that we are dealing with it, because it's one of our ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't think we can ignore this ordinance.
No, we can't. It's going to come up. Somebody's going to read it and say...
I guess to just kind of maybe answer the question as far as why somebody would want to locally designate... usually it's because they don't want changes to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say somebody's been working on fixing up their house, and even though if it's national or state registered, doesn't mean that you have to follow certain standards. It only means you have to follow certain standards if you're requesting a tax credit. But then let's say you don't want the next person to buy it to ruin what you did, like you're really proud of it, so then you go forward with a local designation, and that's usually tends to be the motive behind.
But that would be so rare.
It would, and you're not
because
that's kind of how it's used.
Never selling their home.
Sometimes it's used by communities as a way to really maintain. Authority, I mean, or I should control or management of a district. So sometimes it can be obviously governmental led to the one thing that I know that was always important with the communities that I worked with were who or how the nominations came through. So it kind of listed who could nominate, like it had to come from the owner. That was really important because there was always this fear that the city or whomever is going to come in and they're going to require you to do this, that, and the other to your property. And so we kind of made it a requirement that it had to come from the owner. The committee, the Historic Preservation Committee, could help with the application, you know, putting together some historical data, because the nomination actually required a lot of data to be submitted. But if we're looking at properties that are already listed on the National Historic, you know, Registered Places, that information's already there. But it really was important that it came from the property owner. And if it was a historic district, that there was a majority of some sort. You know, if it was 3/4 or, you know, 51%. So there were things of that nature to kind of, you know, quench some fears as far as, you know, we don't want to be coming back to get approval all the time on our what we can and can't do to the outside of our buildings. So.
But I don't think we'd ever be doing a historic district if we didn't have the property owners buying into this.
Yeah, and that's why we've chosen the path that we've chosen and the districts that we've chosen to move forward with nomination processes, because they did voice interest. You know, we held public hearings, and those districts that had the most participation and that were the most enthusiastic are the ones we're pursuing. Mm-hmm. So I think we've done that. I think we've done that. Yeah. So I'm just concerned about the regulatory look of this document, mm-hmm. and that what you have in the end, you know, is an appeal. If they don't like the decision we've made, they can appeal to the village board. But that wouldn't make me feel real confident about the process, especially having been told for in the last 8 or 10 months that everything's fine, you can do whatever you want
right.
to. You know, so I think this document needs to be marked as something that's subject to revision, or that will be revised, but I don't know how to say it beyond that.
But I think first maybe we should contact a few, maybe Village of Cedarbrook, some other villages that also have this in place, and also deal with homes that are on the National Register or the State Register.
Maybe
see how they handle it.
Yeah. Is there a way to do that, Trevor? Yeah, I think that the city of De Pere has a working document,
right.
much
right.
like this.
And that was the intent of going through this, because mm-hmm. that was all gone through back in 2014 when the committee amended this. We looked at Cedarburg, we looked at De Pere, we looked at mm-hmm. quite a few other places, and took language from them, and that's when the National Register and the State Register was added back in 2014. Mm-hmm. The state model ordinance does not include that, but another community must have done that, and that's why we did it. And I'm with you, Howard. It was pretty abstract to me at the time, being that I had just started, you know, pretty much prior to that we would be controlling this. But now that we're more into it, I think
Everything's fine, except if there's a way to clearly state that we're not controlling it, that we're not trying to control it.
Right. Only local designations.
Yeah.
And those designations are separate from state and national registers.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty simple, but we can definitely look at that at the next meeting and bring some sample ordinances.
But who approves this? I would think that the board would have, not just our board. I mean, someone came up with this ordinance, not this board.
Right.
I mean, this is a...
Well, the committee approved
village
this.
Came up with it.
Right. And then the board... Oh, you're talking about the model or the sample?
No, I would think that
our ordinance.
The ordinance itself.
It was prepared by a committee, probably, and then...
But the village board
and then
probably
presented to the village board for approval, and it was approved.
But maybe Jim brings that back to the village board and gets some input.
I'm assuming it was approved during the ordinance changes that happen every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And went through historic preservation, probably planning had an opinion. Then the board would have approved it to put it in the ordinance.
But maybe
document.
It's timely now to go back to them and say, now nationally they're recognizing Miramar District. You know, how do they see this as, you know,
mm-hmm.
playing into that?
Yeah, how is this a positive document now in light of the fact that we have real life scenarios in front
right.
of us? And I don't know.
Yeah, it may have been a little more abstract at that time because
there wasn't anything.
They weren't doing anything.
Well, now you.
Yeah.
Now we're breathing something rather.
Yeah.
But now this group is given grants, that, you know what I mean? And if it doesn't apply, then it should say it doesn't apply to anything on the National Register. Or it doesn't apply. You know, if it's not going to apply,
put it in big capital bold letters.
Right. Yeah.
I'm joking, but to make that clear that...
It either applies or not.
Yeah. And if it doesn't apply, then we need to say that and be able to talk about it when it comes up.
I think what should happen is still leave the opportunity for it to apply to the State National Register, but don't have it automatically apply. How it's worded now, it kind of, if you're listed on the State or National Register, it makes the assumption that you're automatically then locally designated. I wouldn't want to make the two exclusive of each other. You know, if you're locally designated, you can't be on the State or National Register. If you're on the State National Register, you couldn't be locally designated sometime in the future. Just in case a property owner ever wanted to be locally designated. What I can do is I can bring other ordinances and we can review those as well.
And we can take back to the village board if that's appropriate after you do a little research.
Yeah, research. Or even Trevor asking one of these other communities what they do with how they deal with that.
Yeah, sure. Because these villages, and you know, DePier, I mean, they have a historic district and they have historic homes, so it must be working. They must be able to use this in the right way if their ordinance.
If they have the same ordinance.
If they have an ordinance that mirrors this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, well, maybe that's all we need is to just learn a little more about how they do it, and acknowledge the fact that this was developed for locally designated properties rather than what we're experiencing now, which is
national
nominations for the National Historic Register. Yeah.
It just seemed unusual that this would be so strict. And at the other level, they aren't.
It's easy to make it strict when you don't have any examples.
Yeah, exactly. And, these are so restrictive. And then the other level, which is so much higher, is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it
is. Really
yeah.
Confusing. True. You're nationally registered, you have no restriction, but.
Yeah, if you're going to do it locally, then.
You're really bound.
I think that gets back to the local control matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is almost a zoning thing.
Yeah.
It's
that's why it's not at the national, just because they want local.
But then you don't want our local to read this and say, now there should be some connection.
Trevor, is there a hierarchy of control here? Like from the national to state, then to us? So somebody takes precedence over this?
I'm sorry. You mean like, does the state have authority over us?
Yeah, if the state had a similar document to this, but it's not so restrictive, does that come into play as the hierarchy compared to the local?
The local would be.
So the local will still
right.
come into play.
Right. And that's kind of how they set it up.
Okay.
The federal and state governments, they set it up that way.
But that's why I would think they have to be working together. Because I can see working with historic district. You don't want everyone just doing all these type of additions or whatever that take it out of the reason they were in the historic district to begin with. So you have to have some control over that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, is that when this comes into play?
And
you know, it looks like under 424-5A, the last sentence, the historic district shall be approved by the village board. Once designated, such historic structures, sites, and districts shall be subject to all the provisions of this ordinance. But I think it probably provides a fair amount of leeway there in terms of, and maybe it's a fallback responsibility so that somebody maybe doesn't have the best interest of a structure and does something real bizarre, or would like to, and the village then would hold some responsibility and say, well, no, you can't do that. Then the vast majority of situations would assume that the owner would want to do things, improvements, whatever that are, that would maintain the historic character.
Yeah, and I think this is also getting to be confusing, too. Because I think, yeah, it seemed like somebody went through and kind of did say, if it's designated by the village or if it's listed on the state national register, because yeah, under that same section 424-5B.
Yeah, it says it right there.
Yeah, and then it says, if any property, site, physical object, building, or structure is a historic landmark or is contributing to its historic district as recognized by local designation by the Village of Alloway or listing on state or national registers.
The committee shall be first.
Yeah, so I think that, or listing, but then it contradicts the paragraph before that says historic district shall be approved by the village board.
So then goes back to what's the intent of the village board? I mean, maybe they intended this, that they have control when something is designated by the
right.
state or the national.
I mean, kind of what you're getting at, Cecile, is you could have a district of homes, either 26 homes in Miramar or the 70-something homes in the Robin City Hill District, and you could have, you know, one or two players that would almost ruin it for everyone else. Everyone wants to maintain that status, but as soon as, you know, we have two or three homes, they start really modifying their homes, don't care about that status, that could really ruin it for the whole district.
Well, and I think maybe the intent was nationally, if something's on the register, they want locally there to be some control, so it doesn't remove it from that. This was really checking it after a point. Local would, because they have to do the building permits. So they would know if someone's putting a, you know, 1960 style on a home that's 19, you know, whatever they're doing. Yeah. And taking out of it, you know, whatever the character of it was. So I think that's why the national is expecting the local to have some sort of control, because they're not going to be doing it.
Right. Well, I think you're required to have...
Well, unless you're getting the credit.
A district
yeah.
Reevaluated every... I think Green Bay just had one or two of their districts reevaluated. It's like every 30 years or something like that.
For national or for local?
For national. But you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 years is a long time.
In the makeup of say the 70-some homes in Robinson Hill, there are non-contributing properties as well. I mean, there are some that don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the probability of trying to control the occurrence where instead of having six non-contributing, they might have seven because somebody decides to tear off his front porch and add that 60s style to the 20s
mm-hmm.
style. I mean, how serious a an impact would that have on the designation of a national historic?
Exactly.
You know, because how many people are going to do that? I mean, most people are going to have bought into the process already, you know, in the sense of wanting to pursue it because they think it has value. And so, out of 70-some homes, if two or three more decide to change the roof line or you know, remove the garage or whatever, so what? Why would that? And I'm just saying, you know, we're concerned about having somebody do something to their home that's going to knock them, that's going to make the National Register folks come by and take their plaque away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying I don't think that'll happen.
I think maybe what the ordinance is getting at is that people might do that unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I've noticed. One of the homes that's contributing in the Robinson Hill District has a metal roof. I don't think they intentionally knew that that would likely disqualify them, but it does now. And, you know, you start having people do projects like that that they don't think about. I mean, you think about the district itself, we only had 20% of district buy-in, or actively buy-in. So you have over 80% of the residents that, you know, don't care one way or the other, and they probably wouldn't pay attention to what kind of alterations or renovations they're doing. So this would provide an avenue to educate the...
That's a reason for having this. But maybe this document could be more worded along the lines of trying to help rather than control, you know, trying to advise or give advice on what is acceptable, you know, because they might say, oh, yeah, gee, I didn't realize that, or I wouldn't have put the metal roof on, you know, because I was looking at this other kind of roof, and I just didn't know. So, you know, informative and supportive and collaborative rather than restrictive. If there's a way to...
And I think that the certificate of appropriateness by design should address that, but yeah, if people weren't aware of it or what happened without it, or because otherwise, as Seal said, you know, the feds and the state people aren't going to come driving around looking, but the Alloway code enforcement officer could certainly get a call that says, hey, they put this fence over here, or they put this metal roof on, and I don't like the looks of it, and I don't think it's historic, and so then he has to show up, and and you have those discussions, you know. So
then it goes back to, does this apply? Because if they're saying it doesn't apply, then this would never even come into play.
Right. So you have to have it or not. You know, maybe it's just a waste of, or parts of it anyway, you know.
Right. So I think there is a connection, and there would be a conflict. Because I think locally, you would want to have that maintained as a historic district. And you wouldn't want everyone changing their roof line whenever they choose.
Well, without a certificate of appropriateness, the village can't issue a building permit.
But that's only if it's local, a local district. And I'm thinking that's where the conflict is, because there'd never be a local district.
And that's, we don't want to address that. That's not our problem.
I guess the only way would be if Robinson Hill or the Miramar residents didn't want one or two players kind of ruining it.
But is that the intent? I don't know if that's the intent with all the ores.
Yeah.
As to whoever, you know, when the village board came up with this. But, you know, maybe the first step is to go back to, I'm just using Cedarburg or something, someone that's been around forever. They have to have had this in place. Mm-hmm. They have to have homes on the National Register, probably a lot of them. You know, what did they do in those situations?
And they probably had this conversation maybe a long time ago and resolved it in some way that we just haven't gotten to yet.
And I would think it'd be an answer that they'd say, oh, you know, this is how they're connected or not connected. Or
yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's how we use it.
Yeah.
And
it's
here's
just
why
that
it works.
In Alloway, there's never been a historic district before. Yeah. So it's the first, you know, first time we're even looking at them. Because until you sent it out, I didn't even know this was out there.
Yeah.
So that would be the committee recommendation to not, it's not an action item, I guess, but it seems like the recommendation would be to send it to see if Trevor can get some more information and any other staff person. And I can certainly be available to be the interface between the board and historic preservation. And maybe somebody recalls the intent better than I do.
Yeah.
You know, we try to find that out.
I think this be a good first step for sure.
I'm just looking through my ordinance I did for River Falls to see how they did it, and their definition of historic district is a lot simpler because it just says means an area designated by their council on recommendation of the commission that contains two or more historic improvements or sites. It doesn't mention anything about national or state. It's just if it's been designated through a public hearing process. But anyway, That's what I'm doing. I'm not, like, texting people.
Texting friends.
I'm looking at the ordinance. Just for a refresher for myself. Because, yeah, it's very, very so oddly written here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have they designated properties locally?
Yeah.
Must have really wouldn't have been there, I think.
But. Yeah. Yeah, they have. Not a ton, but it's been a while since I've been there. But we did a few. We kind of did what you guys did here, which is municipally owned buildings, and got those locally designated. So, like, if you wanted to do a local designation on the community center, you know, it's kind of like the
first step.
Yeah, just like what you guys did
kind
with
like
the designation.
To go
yeah.
To the National Register.
Yep.
Nomination process with those that were.
There were a couple homes, and it also came into play when there were things that were being knocked down that people did not want to see get knocked down, which is where it got really ugly. There was a church that the church wanted to knock the church down, and so there was a push to designate it locally as a historic structure, and it got really ugly. That's where the nomination came into play. So,
it's kind of like the Chancery building on Webster here. That kind of that was kind of an ugly discussion. Right. No.
And the way this ordinance is reads, worst case scenario, they're waiting 120 days.
It just surprises me that locally it could be so restrictive, and then you have the national registry, and it's like anything goes.
Yeah, and that's really how it is. Absolutely.
And that doesn't make sense, you know. So I would think there'd be some time. The way this is written, there's a time. And I think that's, you know.
What do we think? Have we given Trevor?
I think, you know, the first step would be to talk with some of the other villages. And how they, you know, how it plays together. And the fact that this is our first historic district, you know, we have this in place. How do they handle that when someone's making changes? Does this not even apply? Or do they say, oh no, you have to go through this route, even if you're on the National Register? Mm-hmm. If you have this in place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it would certainly be helpful to see how they use their document.
Right. And if it's just worded differently in that way, you know, you could say I'm on the National Register, I don't have to, it doesn't apply to me because of line number 4.
Yeah. So all we need to do is be able to cite with some precedence,
right,
how these have been interpreted.
Right. And if you're in the state national register or not.
And we're kind of operating in the dark now because we are in the dark.
But if there is a connection between the two, then people have to be aware of that. Because then they definitely have to go through these steps.
Right.
It's kind of why Trevor and I decided to put it on the agenda for this discussion. Trevor, do you have enough direction from us to...
I think so.
...to put something together for our next meeting? Anything should be done in the interim relating this. I mean, it is, you know, it's an ordinance, so we can't
ignore it.
We can't ignore it, and we can't just put a little post-it note on saying, you know, up for revision. You know, I mean, it is what we need to follow now, or work our way through now. So
I'm glad it was brought up where it was, because I had assumed it was one way, and it obviously isn't. So we do have some time, but it is also urgent. So. Yeah.
Anything else on this? You find anything else?
I'm trying to find a peers ordinance.
Yep, she's really not texting.
Really not texting. Yeah.
Okay, then, I guess we'll leave this and move on to Item number 7, next meeting date and agenda items.
I believe we had talked about the last meeting canceling the December one. If that's still the case, the next regularly scheduled one would be January 25th.
January 25th. Again, I don't have my... Is that okay with everybody?
Yep.
Same pattern? Okay. And I guess we can plan on this being an agenda item, this ordinance, for us to review. Is there anything we should be doing in the meantime? I mean, I know there's not really much we can do except think about it personally. I mean, we can't get together and have another meeting between now and then, but, you know, Trevor will fix it.
You might want to take a look at what is on the certificate of appropriateness and what should we have to regulate.
Yeah. Do you hear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Physically, I've never seen that certificate.
Is there such a certificate?
Yeah.
It's one page.
That might be a document that, if worded differently or if it added some more comments too, might help explain the intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, here's the certificate of appropriateness. It doesn't really say I can't tear off my soffit. It says something,
right,
you know, less restrictive than that. But we don't know that because we haven't. Mm-hmm. We don't have one. Yeah. Okay. The next item on our agenda is adjournment. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you. Thanks for the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good job.
It appears to have been timely.
Yes, very much so.
So many times this thing seem relatively simple and straightforward. And then
yeah,
you start
so
doing
often
it.
You don't read them, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, to you.
And
yeah. There's the residents of Miramar.